You doing? All right. Good. A little quiet today. Are you okay? Is the summer heat is over, you know, guy? Okay? We should wear a jacket now. I think getting cold. But I praise the Lord that whatever the weather we have, we come to church faithfully. You know, if we in California could not come to church, just think about people who live in Michigan and East Coast. I remember I went to Michigan, I interned there, and I have to drive in the snow, and my car got stuck in the snow. I always have a shovel and a bag of sand to have to get your car out. And so I remember those times that whenever we have difficulty, just work at it, God will take you through. Today I want to share with you about the generation of truth. In every single generation, God has chosen someone to stand up to defend his truth. You know, it's so funny, and Hollywood took that idea that from the Bible, I'm assuming the Bible before Hollywood, that where any problem occur in the society, that the idea of sending a hero come to rescue, right? You send a Superman, right? Or Spider-Man to take care of the problem, right? And the man is not enough, you gotta bring the woman in, right? You have to send in the Wonder Woman. You heard about it? And so parent bringing is not enough. You got to bring the chew in, the spy kit or ninja, whatever have you. And so the idea is behind it, whenever problem, there's always someone become a hero. I'm asking you today, are we a hero of our time? Some of you pray, probably not. Well, let's look through some of the history and the Bible text and see what does God call each one of us. All right? Now, history is so important and so rich that understand the human race and also understand the good and evil happen in this world. It begin of time when God created man and woman, and later on we see the men desire, when I say men, that means the human race, desire the wickedness of the world. And so in the book of Genesis chapter 6, you're talking about the son of man married to the woman son of God married to the woman of the man, right? And so you see the problem between good and evil, okay? And when the Israelite was trapped into Egypt, God called Moses to deliver them. If Moses would not answer, guess what? Now, when the Philistine tried to attack the Israelite, God called David to stand up, okay? When in the church, or in the tabernacle, there's sin abound, God called Samuel to stand up. Okay? When the Baal worshiper took over the land of the Israelite, God called Elijah to stand up. And when all the people did Exodus into Babylon, God called Daniel to stand up. Even though you live into the heathen country, you can stand up for God. And all the way through the time, God called John the Baptist to stand up during his dark time. And Paul had to stand up to preach to the Gentile. My question to you, if the first 4,000 years of this earth history, God called people in different ages, different generation, do you think God called the next 2,000 years? Yes. And so today we review something of the history that help us to understand God continue to use each one of us at the end time. I've been reading the book Great Controversy In and Out. Matter of fact, I'm not reading it anymore. I think I'm studying it. I think when you study this in depth, that you know about it. But before I get into that, I want you to open the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, he knows the Bible so well that he wants a quote from the Old Testament. And here is the quote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and verse 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men and the flower of grass, the grass will wither, and its flower falls away. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endure for how long? Forever. And so Peter know very well the Old Testament, and later on New Testament, need to be endured forever. And so this is the truth in the Bible. How we know that? Go back on the book of John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus came to this world, and people have the Word of God, and people worship the Word of God. And Jesus said, no, no, you got it all wrong. I give you the Word of God for a specific reason. What is the reason? What was the reason? John chapter 5, verse 39. For you, right, search the Scripture, in it you think, right? You think you have eternal life. Can the Scripture give you eternal life? Yes or no? No. You think that you know the Scripture. You think that you memorize the Scripture. You think you know all the 28 believe. You know that you come to church every Sabbath and you've given tithe. You think that you keep all the doctrine, you have eternal life. No. The Word of God says this, that these, which is the Bible, which testified of me. So the Word of God leading us toward who? To Jesus, because Jesus can give you salvation, not the Word of God. But doesn't mean we should omit the Word of God. The Word of God is so important, because if we don't have the Word of God, there's no way you can find Jesus. If I'm driving home 9 o'clock at night and I decided not to turn on my light, do you think I'm able to get home? Probably not. My friend, the Word of God is a path of eternal life. I mean, toward Jesus to give you eternal life. Now, this is what Satan hates the most. Satan hates the Word of God so much. Satan did everything to destroy Jesus, but because he could not destroy Jesus, he wanted to destroy God's people. How? By cutting the Word of God out of the hand of the people. Now, do you think he would do that at the end time too, or no? Yes. How come if we have the Bible, everyone have what, 5, 6 Bible? I know my home, if you can open any closet in my home, you probably find 20 Bible, different version. But if the Bible display on the closet, the true is hidden in the closet. My friend, today people have the Bible, but they don't have the truth because they do not open the Bible to find the truth. So my brother and sister, we have to open the Bible, study every day. That's where the truth become unfold to us. Now, can we able to find all the truth our forefathers have developed? Can we study all the 28 fundamental beliefs and that's it? No, there's so much truth in this treasure that it's take a lifetime or eternal life to study it. And so I plead with you, continue study. The more you study, the more light you will receive. And so here it is. When the third century, I shared with you some time ago, the third century of the Christian church that turned over to the Roman Catholic Church. And by then, intentionally or unintentionally, people don't read the Word of God anymore. It's written in the Latin. And the common people don't go to school at that time. They do not able to read Latin. They know the language of the area they live, but that's all they know. And so when they go to church, they worship everything in Latin. The priest would stand up to read in Latin. The story he tells in Latin, everything. And so they say, wow, that's a holy language. And you receive the blessing by just listening to it. My friend, if you listen to something you don't understand, don't lead you to Jesus, that is not the truth. The truth is not revealed to you yet unless you understand. And so here it is. The devil is doing very well keeping hitting the Word of God only to the people in monastery or in the university. Matter of fact, in the university, so much that only a few copy, if you will, that in there, even though in Latin. So many, many seminary students go to school, they never open, they never get a chance to have the Bible to read. And so here it is. The whole time from the 3rd century to the 13th to 14th century, 1,000 years, is in darkness. Where? The Word of God. How long is 1,000 years? Yes? It's a long time. Have you ever hold a book? A 100 years old book? What happened? It's all brittle, all yellow. You can't even read anymore. The print is fade. But somehow God miraculously able to save his word that until now can be reprinted. And so now that I'm telling you a story about John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe come on the scene at this very time, and I want to read the first line. If you want to write it down, it's up to you. I want to read a first line from the book, Great Controversy. Okay, and this comes kind of a very dear book to me to understand the end time. And so the first year, the chapter 5, starting with John Wycliffe, say, before the Reformation, when is Reformation, by the way? The 16th century, right? But matter of fact, Reformation is a couple of centuries even before that. But the Reformation only successful when 16th century. The Reformation, there was a time, but very few copies of the Bible in existence. But God had not suffered his word to be wholly destroyed. God did not let the Bible to be destroyed, even though only few copy. And so here it is. God bring this man into the scene during the time when people live in the dark age. And so here it is. John Wycliffe was born in 1320. And as a young man, his parents desired him to go to college to learn about law. Okay? He wanted to learn about many other things. And so he eager to learn everything he could, and he went to the University of Oxford. Okay, Oxford is not just new. In the last 2 centuries, it's been very, very old, one of the oldest schools. And he went to Oxford, and guess what? He found the Bible. He never saw the Bible before. He started reading in, by the way, Latin Vulgate. That means the translation of the whole Bible in Latin. And so as he reading that, he started to see the truth. What do you mean by the truth? He go to church every Sunday, he know the truth. No, he read something in the Bible very different from what the church taught at that time. And so he started to study more and more and more. He said, wow, so many things so different. And there's desire in his heart he wanted to share. So what he found in the church is very different from the Bible. What he found is what? That there's no teaching in the Bible on purgatory. And so he started to write his a glow track, maybe, on rejecting purgatory. He started to pass it out. Later on, he learned about the Bible. Say the Bible does not teach that you need to be celibacy. Celibacy, they have to go to monastery and live by yourself, whatever. No. And so he go against that. And also, with that time, people say indulgent. You know what indulgent? That means you've sinned. And if you already purchased indulgent, that means you can give this to the priest. That means your sin will be forgiven. So in other words, you can buy forgiveness. And so he speak against that. He speak against about praying to the saint. Now all these glow track, if you will, pass it all around in England. Guess what? Some of the priests picked that up and said, what's going on? Later, you know, these pieces go all the way into Rome. Now, people were very concerned what John Wycliffe was teaching. At that time when they decided to bring John Wycliffe to Rome to talk about what do you believe, and if you believe, consider heretic, you need to reject that. Pope Gregory XI, on May 22nd, 1317, sent letters to Wycliffe. You need to report to Rome. Now, what do you think that's going to be like? And people know if you go to Rome, that's mean what? Either you put in prison or death. You do not do anything against Rome. Okay? And so, guess what? He say, if the Lord will, I will continue to go. And he did. There's no fear. But what he fears is, feel that I do not able to share the truth as in the Bible. Well, when he went to Rome, he learned so much and he saw so many problems in Rome. He decided, they heard about it. Well, of course, the council has not finished just one trial. There's many other time. But guess what? There's something happened in Rome. At that time, there's two people want to fight for position of next pope. And so they put that on the top of the agenda, not the doctrine from John Wycliffe. And so guess what? They talk about it, they discuss about it, and pretty much let Wycliffe kind of off. And so Wycliffe have time to read more about the Bible, to study the Bible, come to the point that the Lord impressed him to translate the Bible in Latin Vulgate to English. That's why you got the first English Bible. Okay, beginning with John Wycliffe. Guess what? When he wrote the Bible, what do you think about Rome find out? Oh, no, no, they don't like that idea. Now, they're able to keep that only to the priest to share, but now every common people get a chance. Guess what? He put a group together. People start to copy what he translates. You have 100 students. Come, bring your paper. Let's copy everything what the teacher Wycliffe wrote. And so the Bible producing by penman of all these students. The word get around. And finally, he about to finish the whole Bible. Maybe not complete the New Testament, but he probably finished the whole Bible. At that time, very near his life, in 1384, he died. And so the church cannot persecute him. And so, well, good. That man already dead. That man is gone. The heretic is gone. His liturgy is gone. Is that true? No, the liturgy still continue circulate. By the way, his assistant by the name of John Purvey, his assistant continued to fix the Bible that John Wycliffe wrote and continue circulate everywhere. Now, somehow the light had appeared in England. The light also appeared in Bohemia. Bohemia, which is now Czechoslovakia. That's where the location. So here the man come on the scene because there's darkness all over Europe, and here especially in German and Germany and a few other places in darkness. So God bring up a new man called John Huss. Yes, John Wycliffe already left the scene, but the darkness still exists. The light have not spread out throughout the whole Europe. They bring the name of John Huss, and he born in 1369. Very poor. His dad died when he was young. His mom desired to have him have a good education. Listen, good education. So young people, education very important. Always go to school. Always learn as much as you could. And so the mother of John Huss decided, his mother decided to put him in school, okay? And so here it is. I want to page 98 of the Great Controversy. John Huss was a humble birth and was early left an orphan by the death of his father. His pious mother, regarding education and the fear of God as the most valuable what? Possession, sought to secure the heritage of her son. The last word of this paragraph say this. Little did the mother realize how her prayer was to be answered. And so remember, Anna prayed for Samuel and devoted Samuel into the sanctuary, and Samuel able to conduct service in there. And so Samuel become a great prophet during his time. And so here it is, John Huss in his time. He studied all what he could. He followed exactly what the church taught him. What happened? Did God bring John Huss on the scene to shine into the darkness? But how come he accept everything to the church? Well, he able to meet a friend, a very nice friend by the name of Jerome. Page 99, on second paragraph say, the citizen of Prague, which is where Huss go school in University of Prague, and Jerome was afterward became closer associated with Huss, and on his way returned from England. Where's England? Who was with England a half century before? John Wycliffe, right? Brought to him a writing of John Wycliffe. So do not underestimate published literature. it can carry around the world. And so here it is. John has read this book, read the material of John Wycliffe, and he say, I am Paulo Wycliffe, but I did not know. And so guess what? John Huss understands some portion of the Bible, but God, using John Wycliffe years before, helped him to see the new light. And here, John Huss, you know what happened? He continued the light where John Wycliffe left. And so there it is. John Huss continued doing that. And guess what? Again, this literature come to the hand of the priest of the church, and Roman church find out about it. At this time, John Huss was a priest at the Bethlehem Church, and he decided to follow the council, and they asked him to go, and his friend said, no, do not go. Especially Jerome, you shouldn't go. If you go there, you're going to die. They're going to persecute you. But guess what? John Huss, no, this is an invitation from the Pope, and also got the support by the king of Hungary, okay, by Sigismund. And so he said, no, there's no problem. And so as he go toward Constant, Germany, that's where the council was held in the year of 1414. And so it's a long council, four years. Many things to discuss. Three things to discuss. I just want to let you know if you want to jot this down. Number one, we need to decide who is the next pope. There's three people who try to run for the pope. So they discuss and debate so much. You know, when you run for that position, I mean, it's really a long debate, and it's fighting. Just like sometimes you have so much fighting here in the United States for when you try to elect president. Back then, wow, so much fighting. And so much fighting is going on that delay the integrity of John Huss. The second point is they need to decide it. What do we do with John Wycliffe literature? Yes, he's off the scene. But what do we do if we declare him a heretic? That's when we should burn all his literature. And so that very year of the Constantine Council, they decided to burn all John Wycliffe literature and all those who follow him. Matter of fact, that very year, you know what they do? They decided, already voted John Wycliffe, a material heretic, they decided to go to John Wycliffe's grave site, dig up all the bone, and burn it, okay? Burn it. Because I couldn't persecute John Wycliffe in time, let burn his bone. I don't know how they think about that, but they burn it into ashes, and they throw it into the river. And so, that same year, too, and they decided the writing of John Huss is also heretic. So instead of John Huss go back home in Prague, they were thrown in jail at Constant, Germany. When Jerome heard about it, he ran toward John Huss, tried to find a way to help John Huss deliver, but he sees it's difficult. So he left Constant. On the way he go back to Prague, he was captured. He bring back into Constantine, he throw in jail. And so now two of the reformers in jail. And now they try to execute John Huss by put him on the stake and burn him. Okay? And the last thing they asked John Huss, would you recant whatever you wrote and your teaching? He said, no. Whatever I wrote, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what the word from the word of God. And so they burned him to death in Constant. And that is a lesson for the whole Christendom. This is almost the first time ever they burn some theologian at the stake to let everyone know about if they decide you're a heretic, that's what happened to you. Okay? Before that, you know, they persecute a few people, but it's not like this. This is official. If heretic, that's what does it mean by heretic? That means your literature is against the Bible and against the church. When you consider heretic, that means what? You are bound to be persecuted to death by burn at the stake. Number two, any follow heretic, likewise. If you read heretic stuff, you get burned to death, everything. And not only that, you will take all the possession away from you, and you will be executed. No more place to live. So that means if you decided to follow this group, you lost everything. And the last thing, I don't know if you thought about it, last time I shared with you, anyone killed a person who considered a heretic, according to the church law, you are allowed to kill without a crime, murder crime, and you are allowed to take the land and possession. That is part of blessing if you kill the heretic. Amazing. And so that's what happened. People started left Bohemia everywhere. Later, if you read history, wars happening because they're chasing the Christian. They're killing the Christian. And so here it is. What happened? John Hus already burned to death. Who's still in prison? Jerome. They asked Jerome, would you recant everything that you wrote, that you teach? Say yes. He might thinking that maybe if I can free, I can go back and I can start a ministry somehow to get the word out. But after many, many days and months, when he recant what he wrote and believed, they have not let him go. So he got stuck in prison for a year. Not much eating, not much of clothing. And so he give up. He said, this is enough. He decided he wanted to be tried again, and he wanted to stand up for the truth. And this is what he wrote. In the book of Great Controversy, he wrote this here. He wrote the very things that happened. At his retraction, that means he wanted to take all back, that means retract whatever he said before to the council, Jerome had ascended to the justice of the sentence condemning Hus, he now declared his repentance and bore witness to the innocence and holiness of the martyr. Read this. I knew him from the childhood. He said he was the most excellent man, just and holy, and he was condemned notwithstanding of innocence. I also am ready to die. I will not recoil before the torment and the prepare of my enemy of false witnesses who will one day have to render an account to the imposter against the great God whom nothing can deceive. He decided that he will take back what he said on the council. You know what that means. He will be burned at stake. So there's some time we are afraid stand up for the truth. But the truth keep coming to you, somewhat haunt to you that, why don't you speak it? Why you let this go through? That was Jerome. And some of us, somehow we let our weakness, our fear, then we decided to cover the light of truth that God given us. So what happened to these men during the time, the 14th century and 15th century? All that happening, ready to open the door for the Reformation age. What happened? What are these men and women have in common? Number one, that they hunger for the Word of God when they saw the Word of God. Are you hungry for the Word of God today? Do you find truth in here? Are you reading to find the gem of truth in the Word of God? God said you have to search. The gem is not the truth, not one you to open and you read it. You got to search the Bible and you find the truth. And these men searching the Bible day and night until they find the truth. Number two is this. They not only find the truth, but there's someone pray for them. You know who pray for them? The parent. When parents pray for the children, there's power. Don't estimate that your prayer going with unheard. God will use your prayer in a powerful way. The parent of Wycliffe and John Hus, God used a prayer to uplift them. Number three, I want to share with this here, that they come from a poor family, they're willing to do anything to have the highest education. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible is not only just learn because someone just give me a Bible study and that's it. No, you and I need to learn more and more and more every day. We only know very little about the Bible. We know very little about the truth. How can the light shine if only little light come out of us? And so we need to learn. We have to eager, go to school, read more books. That the more you know about this, the stronger the light will be penetrating into the darkness of this world. Number four, when you know the truth, the burning in your heart cannot be stopped. When you study enough, you will see the truth want to jump out of your heart, come out of your lips, speak the truth, tell about it, proclaim about it. And that's what happened to all these reformers. Somehow about the Bible, somehow about the word that they live in darkness, they God called them at that time. Do you think we will have a darkness come to this world at the end time? Yes. You think persecution will come? You might not like it, but my Bible in the book of Revelation says it will be coming. Do you think God will call young men, young women at the very time of trouble? Yes. You think God might call you and I? Yes. God calls anyone is willing. God not calling for a few young people. When Elijah say, God, only me, not worship Baal. I said, no, sir. I got 7,000 people not worshiping Baal. And so many people out there worship the truth. But the thing is, God need more light into this world. Especially in this community. Where's your light now? Is it in the closet? Is it in the four wall of this church? Or the light is in the community, into the world. I pray, as we're reading the book Great Controversy, I pray when you study the end time prophecy, God calling you and I. Because so many people will die in darkness. So many people will bury in Christless grave if they don't know about the truth. God called each one of us. Many people are surrounding us that they don't know about the truth. The darkness over them, and we need to be bringing light for them. I pray you and I will take up his calling. You and I already know some of the truth, but we need to share what we know. Or else, we're required by God. What do you do with the truth that I gave you? I want to say another story. When Ellen G. White saw the vision, and he saw the truth revealed to the Bible, and he said, you know, I'm only third grade education. I'm sick left and right. I cannot preach. I cannot talk. I can't even stand in public. And I'm so shy. And God gave her a vision. A very powerful vision that I cherish a vision until now, that she saw in that vision that she wear a white gown. And somehow people somewhere underneath her tried to tug her gown. She looked down, people with hand, blood, touch her gown. And later on the vision tried to explain, if we don't share the blood of the wicked, that we have to answer to God. God beg us, God asks us, please use in your workplace, in your school, wherever you go, there's someone need to know the truth. Shall we pray? Dear Lord our God, we live in the generation we need more light to shine upon this world. You long to call many people to carry this light. I pray that you can call each one of us somehow, some way. Because so many people don't know about you yet. And we don't like to see people live in darkness when you come, Lord. You have rescued us from darkness. Shall we continue carry on the legacy that bring other people to Christ, just like others bring us to Christ? Bless each one of us, even though small group we have, but you have put the light in our heart today. May the burning fire that we hear today would never extinct, but continue grow and stronger until many people come to you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.